Almighty. Romans. Chapter 1. We finished verse 1 yesterday. The word that we spent most of the time on that I asked you to remember in the takeaway was the word for gospel. And it's distinctive. It means the most important news. We talked about how if you could see the gospel, you would understand the basic questions of why you were born and why you're here and what you're to do. And all of that is really understood in the gospel. But and the way you know that you haven't heard the gospel is concerns about what you're going to do. Even concerns about what is your call in life, or any of those questions that are so common to the human race are obviated in the word gospel. So there's the answer to what am I going to do about something? It's the answer is it's none of your business. And again, one's life would be so much simpler if that became the predicate of your existence. What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? What's going to happen about this? What's going to happen about that? And God's reply is, it's none of your business. And if you can hear that, your life will become very simple. What? You're doing it. Is it you're the sinkhole here every morning?
No, these are just powerful words. They have a whole lot of parameters, and it always gets down to the same answer.
Right.
You trust God.
Have the faith of God. So it's and it has never anything to do with time. Because the gift of God is eternal life. So if anything that you're considering that has something to do with time, then you know you... And it has to go down to the basics. That's the reason the modern world doesn't understand the power of the gospel. Power meaning the efficacy, the ability. Is because we have created all these other options. I.e., well, if I don't have any money, I might be able to go and get public assistance, or I could go live with somebody. If you're out in the desert and you don't have anything to eat, you're going to die. Well, to me, when we prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God, we're not proving what the will of God is for us. We're proving or testing that Jesus Christ is our life. And our only function is faith. But every other question, that's why for me it was so vital that I leave everything and you know, if God doesn't do something, I'm not going to eat. Well, that's a biggie. And then, what it did for me was to cement with certainty that. I'm not my own business. Even to the simplest things of eating or having a place to live or anything. And every time I start concerning myself with even the basics of life, then I know that I've been deceived. And so it's not, and it doesn't have any power anymore. It's just part of this thing that's the test to see whether something can take you away from the mystery of God. And until that happens in you, you will not know that Jesus Christ is in you. Because you will still think that there is performance, there's something to do, there's some correct way of living and some correct action. And so even at the basic core of your belief, when you say you hear the cross and you see the cross of Christ and you know this mystery, but in that quiet moment, the fears come. And the fears, unless they're obviated, then the fears are going to overpower the gospel because of the humility of the gospel. And this has to define your life. What?
The whole transactional place where that is, it's always this.
It's so simple.
It's when you listen to the voices and you give them power and weight.
Anybody have any comment on this? This isn't prudent.
Sometimes I think that you, well, at least you sound like you're saying, that if you reach some stage of enlightenment, then the fears will no longer come.
No, I'm not saying
that. Doesn't make any sense at
all. I've never said that.
They will come. The question is,
what's your response?
The snake bites your hand, what do you do?
There's nothing. The promise, everything is dependent on He will never leave you nor forsake you. And if that, but as long as you keep protecting yourself, then you'll never know that. And stop and think, how much of the time of your life has been spent in protecting or improving or concerning or something about you. Does everybody understand this? If you can think of an exception, tell me. Maybe I've been deceived.
No, I think Joyce Senna was right all the times she would say, "We just don't believe." I mean, right. If you're in fear, you don't believe. If you're in worry, you don't believe.
He wasn't kidding when he said, take no thought, period. And it doesn't mean, you can't translate that with any integrity and have it say, don't worry about it. It's take no thought. I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but has revealed them unto babes. James, when his little, how old is he?
About 14 months or so.
So his mother broke his leg, and he yelled.
For 30 minutes.
But then he knows, so he forgot for a minute. But are you going to yell when you're 50 or 60? If something doesn't go your way, or if you have some stupid concern about a world issue, that's why Paul's exhortation is to grow up. Stop being tossed around like a wind in the, I mean, a seed or leaf in the wind, or bouncing around like a cork in the ocean. So, I mean, if you heard nothing other than this, then you would understand the gospel. Assume by your silence you agree.
Nope, who was talking?
In silence.
Who? Oh, he has to go get something for his cough.
I have to get our cough nurse, I forgot.
Don't worry about it.
You understand this, Mr. Jeff? You're not. Don't tell me you're beginning to, or you're getting better, or any of that stuff, crap, right? It's simple.
I'm guilty as charged. Not charged, but I personally relate to you.
Well, then just say, Father, forgive me, and let's move on. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And again, you could just as easily translate that, which all of the Scriptures had before foretold. I mean, everything about the law, all of those things, was to cause you to try to have some integrity so that you can't do it. And then finally, to cause you to see, wait a minute, the same message that went to Cain. Why is your countenance fallen? Know you not the sin offering lieth at the door? You don't try to do it better, or learn how to do it better, or learn how to be concerned better, or learn how to get a solution better. It's all boom. Digital. It's always digital. But we think it's analog. We think it's going to gradually, and if we only were here longer, if we only understood better. No, it's either on or off. Boom, 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 boom. There is never, if you ever use time as an excuse for your rebellion, God help you. Huh, Gary?
Yeah, that's what I say.
I figured that.
I was thinking about this interchange with Jeff, and it pictures, you spend 49 years, trying to get it right, trying to figure out how things work, and so that you can live, and then you encounter this message, and you are totally plowed up, and everything you ever learned, suddenly it's not of value. Everything has to go.
but the point that I want, the reason we read Ecclesiastes is to know that everything you ever learned doesn't work.
Yeah, that's what you finally learn.
And so if it worked, then you're the most unfortunate of all the human beings, because for a lot of people it works, or at least they can convince themselves that works, because you know they. But that's the worst possible thing that you can have, is something that works. And the gospel is to those for whom, first of all, that the world wasn't fit, that, you know, everything in the world is really about the survival of the fittest, right? And that's what reveals in all of the world. Everything in Babylon is the how-tos. You never think of it that way. But so you start out, the survival of the fittest, you find out you're not fit because the plagues come, and then you're baptized, and then you go directly to Babylon, and there at Babylon, if I could just learn how to pray better, and how to read the Bible better, and how to make better offerings, and how to pray, how to lift my hand, how to do all the things, then it would work. No, then, so everybody has to at least make a temporary visit to Babylon. You can't, you know, but the promise is always, you went boom. That's why when he said it's finished, he meant it. It wasn't just another step in our spiritual evolution. That's heresy. And then everything in this world, you remember, the maddest I've ever seen Gary Buckner get at me was, it was one time when I was making fun of his Bible school education. And he got really indignant, and he said, "Well, don't you think it had any value?" And I said, "Yeah, it had about as much value as when you used drugs and found out you didn't want to do that anymore." And that's true for everything. That's the only purpose that the world and the Babylon and everything in it has, is to, for us to find that out and have enough integrity to say it.
Yeah, I was thinking when you first started that, that, you know, all of our experiences and everything have, turns out they do have value, but it's not value for us like we were thinking of. It's for other people. It's everything, our experiences can, you know, help somebody else to show the utility of everything.
But once the transaction, the born again, or the that we've been delivered into the, then all of the experiences, no matter whether that you think they were good or bad or whatever they were, they're all equal. And you don't go back to something. There's no more reference to that universe, the world, the universe of the world, or the universe of Babylon. It's there's no more. That's never again a frame of reference for what we do. Our frame of reference is always only faith in God, faith of God, really.
And that's always new. You can't build a new worldly kingdom based on those experiences.
No, they have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And this is so hard to break through because of our rebellion. But even that, God created to be that way. God can't, there can be nothing. Again, we read yesterday about that all things were created by Him and for Him, and while Him, nothing that was made, whether they be principalities or spirits or whatever they are. So there can be, by definition, then there can be nothing that is against Him. So, in truth, every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord at all times.
Which is why it's so, it's unnecessary to worry and fret and strive, because every single thing, including a car accident or cancer or anything else, is
what it is.
Right.
But this is what's so, we always rank the experiences that we have in the world. And in that ranking, we return to the world. And then we wonder why then a few... we could do that before with impunity, but when we... Now the Holy Spirit has become your enemy. And so everything that you think about, everything you try to do, everything you try to do to get better or improve your business or improve your life or improve your health or whatever it is, what happens... is God has to mock you, and all of those things from God's standpoint, everything that you think is wrong is what has tested this good and this perfect and eternal will of God to see whether there's anything that can take you off. And so you people just ask me, well, that means God will use my rebellion, so I'm going to continue to use my, yeah, He'll use your rebellion, but He won't use you. And that's where the fear of God enters in. Everything in the universe is either birth or afterbirth. Capisce? And so your warfare is over. But all religion, all thought process, all philosophies are the antithesis of this. They are the theology of glory as opposed to the theology of the cross. The theology of glory is how you can fix something, how you can improve something, how something can be made better through your life or efforts. The theology of the cross says, no, all those are equally just the opposition, the hasatan, to this greatest message, the greatest proclamation that could ever be conceived of, the gospel. All right. Which He had promised before by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This is the only time that Scriptures are called holy in the Bible. And the question is, you know, well, what I believe, and this is just me, I believe that all writings reveal Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're writing about whatever it is, because he can't do anything that isn't him. And so everything reveals this mystery. You know, it's like, when you were a very small child, whatever the nursery rhymes were, they were fun, and you could hear them every day. And I can faintly remember that I'd ask my mother or dad to read the same story every night for a long time. But now, I mean, I have no interest in reading. I mean, it's not that they're good or bad. Something has happened. I have no interest in reading nursery rhymes. Now, what happened? Well, the same is true with every other aspect of life, whether it's high energy physics or cosmology or psychology or finance or everything else. They all had a time. Everything is beautiful in its time. And what is its time? Its time is for you to see the end of it. And that has nothing to do with the value of it. I mean, that's why these ideas about naming, oh, he's a bishop and he's a pope and he's a preacher and he's a, you know, whatever, minister, and those labels, they just make us crazy. Because it makes something that is of either the world or of Babylon higher ranking than something else is. And so you have something you attain to. And even with all emotional things, you think you want to be in a position where you only feel, where you feel peace. Well, if you think you're going to feel peace all the time, then you've been deceived. Because whether you feel it or not, it is peace. And it's only your emotional response that's childish. So if, and you know, the references to yourself all the time, you hear people talking, everything is referring somehow to them. And, it's that little kid that I wrote about once in a while, that went during the war. Every time there was he was this little kid that I just wanted to smack him all the time, because he came to school and whatever, I don't remember what we had, but he wore a tie and a little goofy little thing every day. And then during the war, every time his uncle or his father or somebody, every time they shot down a German airplane or a Japanese, it was his uncle or a dad, you know, he had to no matter what the news was, no matter what was happening, he had to refer it to himself. It's that, you know, that why there's no Jewish evangelist, because, you know, guy comes to him and said, oh, I gotta heal my hip. Your hip, my knee. Well, it sounds like some of us sometimes. You know, that's what we do. Everything has to refer back to ourselves. And it's just stupid. It's just childish.
You know what I think about that?
Yeah.
And of course, it's something we all do.
I knew I was going to get a response.
None of us are exempt from this.
I knew I was going to get a response from that.
We all do this.
I just threw that out there, and the fish just caught it, just like that. All right, holy is hagios in the Greek, and holy. This Bible is only holy because that which reveals is holy, and the only thing the Bible reveals is Jesus Christ. The only reason a person can be holy isn't because of his accomplishments or his education. The only reason a person is holy is because of who you contain, the only one who is holy. And by definition, you remember we studied, spent a long time in this word separated. The only, from God's perspective, which is the only thing that's important, the only possibility for holiness is the one that has undergone the separation. You've separated unto the gospel of God. And so if you say, you know, that you believe in the gospel and you haven't been separated, you fear what the world fears and you want what the world wants, then there's something wrong with this picture. Understand a little bit?
It kind of speaks to being in the world but not of the world, because you know, you can go to the desert and think you're getting away from things.
Yeah. See, that if I paid attention, that's what my mind, I would, that's the kind of holiness that I think we should do. But I can't pay attention in my mind about that anymore than I can about anything else.
Because that's not true separation.
No, it's just isolation.
Isolation, yeah. To be in the world but not of it, that's the...
Yeah, let's go to Hebrews 1. This today wasn't a Bible study, it was a rant again. This will take 1 minute. God who at sundry, in verse 1, chapter 1, God who at sundry times, in diverse manners, spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, he's not, again, in many of the translations, it says, it's something rather, the ancient translation, not with these moderns, it says something like this. God, who in many separate ways, in many separate revelations, has revealed a portion of the truth by many, many people. But now, the fullness of the truth is revealed in the Son. So the word prophets here doesn't mean necessarily these guys in here. It means anyone who is proclaiming something, you know, the... And so the whole idea of, and this is where, you know, there's a portion of the truth in Hindu, in Islam, in everything, in Sufi Muslims, and but now the fullness of the truth is in the Son. Those were only models or parables, or now the fullness is in the Son. And when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away with. It's not that. One of the patterns is a little better than the other. Well, that's true. The most perfect pattern we have is this Bible. But and whether it's the Bhagavad Gita's or any of the ancient writings, and in the modern writings, there's a portion of the truth revealed if we have eyes to see. And that's what's so important. Now the fullness of the truth is revealed in the Son. So you don't need the portions anymore. You know, when that which the model or the parable has been made manifest, then the parable is done away with. So that's just leave it at that.
That phrase of if you have eyes to see.
And the only way you can have eyes to see is you first have had your ears circumcised so your ear can hear. The only way your ear is circumcised is when the repentance from all of you is gone. I mean, is manifest. All right, take a big gut.
Gary, be sure to look at the...